Mere Christianity, of course, had a great impact in my life and many people's lives. But one of the things that Lewis says in that book is that if you read history, you'll find that those who did the most in this world were those who thought the most about the next. So that eternal perspective, God's word, penetrates and it touches and should touch every aspect of how we view this world, the things that are happening around us. And when you see historically where we came from, our past, and you see our future, where we are going, all by the work of Christ our Savior, His redemptive work on our behalf, dying not only for us to transform us, but to transform the world, the universe itself, then that allows you to live and think in the present as you should.
What is to keep us from being what my dad used to call being a fellow who is so heavenly minded he's no earthly good?
Yeah, I've heard that often and I have yet to meet that person. I have met people who are kind of spacey, who look like they never got out of the 60s, you know, but that isn't being heavenly minded. I mean, we are commanded to be heavenly minded. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Set your mind on things that are above. Set your heart on things that are above in heaven where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. 2 Peter 3 tells us we are looking forward to a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, what sort of people ought we to be right now in terms of life and godliness? So the people who most help, as Lewis was saying, are the people who are, in the right sense, heavenly minded. Often we're asking the questions of, well, what's it going to be like? And then it's all speculative. Unless you go, well, what was God's intention for creating the universe? And did he ever surrender that? Did Satan destroy God's plan? You know, well, what? Read Genesis 1 and 2. His plan was very clear. He is creating man and woman to rule the earth to his glory. He made this earth for them. He made Adam from the earth and he made Eve from Adam. We are tied to this world and God has a purpose for this world and God had a purpose for the man and the woman and he entrusted animals to their care and all was as it should be. Here comes Genesis 3, Satan, the serpent, temptation, the fall, and well, there you go. God's never going to be able to fulfill his original plan for planet Earth and the people of planet Earth. So Satan wins the victory, right? And the most God can do now is to snatch our souls out of this ugly, terrible, horrible world so that we can drift around in an angelic realm for eternity. And okay, well, that's a plan B, but too bad God couldn't have really accomplished what he intended to. Well, if you read the Bible, read the last three chapters of the book of Revelation and compare them to the first three chapters of Genesis. It's stunning. You've got the tree of life reintroduced. You've got this beautiful new earth without sin, the fall, and it says no more curse. You've got the river, like the rivers in Eden, the river flowing down the streets of the city. You got the tree of life growing on both sides. It's like no longer just a tree of life. It's like a forest of life. And it's everywhere. And God sent his son. Romans 8 is emphatic on this, that Jesus Christ came into this world not just to redeem us, but to redeem the world itself. And Jesus talking about the renewal, he's saying to the apostles, you're going to rule over the 12 tribes of Israel when the time comes for the renewal of all things. The old earth is destroyed. Yeah, sure, like our bodies are destroyed. But then out of the destruction, God pulls it all back together. You have new bodies, you have new earth, and the new earth is not a non-earth. The new body is not a non-body. It's a new body. I mean, read Job 19, where Job says, my Redeemer will stand upon this earth. I will see him with my own eyes. After my flesh has been destroyed, after my skin has dissolved. I will see him with my own eyes. Then he says, I and not another. It will really be me. It will really be us in this new world. It will really be our bodies in this new world. And it will really be this earth. Biblical realism, believing what God promises has been, is now, and is to come because of the redemptive work of Christ. Realism for the Christian, based on the Bible, is optimism. Now, we won't always see the purpose for everything in this life, but God promises that purpose stands whether we see it or not. And he allows us to see in this life enough, I think, that permits us to then have faith about the things we haven't yet seen.